From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message entitled Praise and Prayer, the fifth in a series of studies in the book of Acts. Before Dr. Cairns comes, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection known as Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled In God's Time. The text is found in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 3. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Mercy may seem slow, but it is sure. The Lord in unfailing wisdom has appointed a time for the outgoings of his gracious power, and God's time is the best time. We are in a hurry. The vision of the blessing excites our desire and hastens our longings. But the Lord will keep his appointments. He is never before his time. He is never behind. God's word is here spoken of as a living thing which will speak and will come. It is never a dead letter, as we are tempted to fear when we have long watched for its fulfillment. The living word is on the way from the living God, and though it may seem to linger, it is not in reality doing so. God's train is not behind time. It is only a matter of patience, and we shall soon see for ourselves the faithfulness of the Lord. No promise of his shall fail. It will not lie. No promise of his will be lost in silence. It shall speak. What comfort it will speak to the believing ear! No promise of his shall need to be renewed, like a bill which could not be paid on the day in which it fell due. It will not tarry. Come, my soul, canst thou not wait for thy God? Rest in him, and be still in unutterable peacefulness.
God in whom
As believers in Jesus Christ seek to witness to the unsaved, they are frequently met by a variety of questions. These might include such queries as, why did Christ have to be God? Did God create evil? Or, how do we know the Bible is the Word of God? Dr. Cairns answers these and many other questions on a DVD presentation called Q&A with Alan Cairns. In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. We're happy to be able to provide you, free of charge, a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD, Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. In this, the fifth message in the series in the book of Acts, Dr. Cairns is dealing with verses 12 through 25 of chapter 1. These verses emphasize the importance for the early church of the days between Christ's ascension and the day of Pentecost. It was a time marked by much praise, for the disciples had seen the risen Christ, had witnessed his ascension to heaven, had been given the promise of the Holy Ghost and of the Savior's second coming. This interim period was also marked by much prayer. As with the early church, prayer is still the secret of power for the Church of Jesus Christ. As Dr. Cairns will show, those disciples prayed with the constant sight of Christ's cross, pleading his shed blood as their only approach to God. The same must be true of us today. Now to continue this message called Praise and Prayer, here is Dr. Cairns.
Then I think again of his ascension into glory. The Apostle Paul took up this theme in Romans chapter 8 and verse 34. He says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Here are what Spurgeon called the four pillars of the gospel. Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Thank God this morning we have a right to rejoice, because at God's right hand there sits one who is our Savior. Why, there's not a difficulty we'll face without knowing the Lord Jesus is pleading our cause in glory. There's not a fiery trial we'll be called to go through without knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ, who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities and who was in all points tempted like as we are apart from sin, is pleading our case and undertakes to carry us through. Thank God this morning we have cause to rejoice, for he's in glory. And he's not going to stay there forever. He's coming again. The Father hath very definitely put a time limit on what is called the session of Christ in glory. Psalm 110 and verse 1, quoted Hebrews chapter 1. We are told the Lord said unto my Lord, or the Father said unto the Son, sit thou at my right hand until, there's the time limit, until I make thine enemies thy footstool. So often we think of this time when the Lord Jesus has departed physically from his church as a time where we just drift along under defeat. But here the Lord is speaking in terms of victory. Sit there until I make your enemies your footstool. And then the Lord will come again in all the fullness of his divine glory. My, this is what thrilled the hearts of the early church. This is what blessed the disciples of Christ, that this same Jesus would come again and every foe would be on the ground beneath his feet. My, I'm looking forward to that day. What a day it will be to see every enemy of the gospel, every false ism and system laid low in the dust of defeat. And then, of course, they were rejoicing, as we ought to rejoice, because of the promise of the Father, even the Holy Ghost. I was reading last night the Psalm 68 in my own time of prayer. You know, as I read down that psalm, it's a psalm that always thrills my heart and brings great blessing to my soul. As I read down that psalm, I thought, well, now, isn't that just in line with the rejoicing of the people of God here in Acts chapter 1? The psalmist says, let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. And then he talks about how they'll be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. And then as wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. Do you notice the two symbols he's using? Drive them away as smoke is driven away. What drives smoke away? Nothing but the wind. There's the element of the wind here. And then there's the element of fire. Aren't these the very symbols of the Holy Spirit that we have over in Acts chapter 2? What is thrilling the heart and mind of the psalmist here is that he serves the living God. The gods of the heathen could never arise. A stalk of wood, a lump of stone, a dead idol could never arise. But the psalmist says, let God arise. Oh, I thank God we have the promise of the wind and the fire of God the Holy Spirit. And it ought to thrill our hearts that we're not left to witness and work and preach and labor to call people to repentance and to pray for revival in our own puny little strength, but that we have the very promise of God the Holy Spirit. I would certainly commend that 68th Psalm to you. I don't want to take time to get off on a tangent and preach on it at great length this morning, but I would commend it to you. You know, the things that are around about us today are certainly not of such a nature as would make us rejoice. When you look at what's happening in the world today, it would make your heart sick. I was listening, as I'm sure some of the rest of you were, the other day, I think it was Friday, to the reading of a document by Pastor John Decker from the Bible Presbyterian Church up in Baltimore. And it certainly was enough to make you sick to see what is happening in this land, to think again and again of the vicious inroads of Satanism and ungodliness into the land, into the schools, into the homes, and by order of those who are in political control. Why, these are dark days. And when you look at things on a human level, what is there to make the people of God glad? There's nothing. But the psalmist says, but let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice in God. You see, my friend, there's nothing to make us glad if we look around us in the world. There was nothing in Jerusalem to make the disciples glad. The chief priests were still there. The scribes and Pharisees were still there. The people who crucified Christ were still there. And they were still thirsting for the blood of his followers. There was nothing in Jerusalem to make them glad. They were rejoicing in the Lord. And we can have joy today and confidence today when we think that the Lord is on the throne. The Lord is yet able to do great things for his church. I was particularly blessed in Psalm 68, verse 7, verse 8, verse 9. O God, when thou wentest forth before thy people, when thou didst march through the wilderness, the earth shook. Well, that's what we need today. And I'm glad I believe in a God who can still do it. I don't worship a God who died 1,000 years ago. I'm glad that the God who marched with Israel through the wilderness still marches with the armies of God. I believe that the one who by the fiery cloudy pillar led forth his people is the one who can still lead his people. And I tell you what we need today is that very real sense of the Lord's presence. We need to know that God is marching with us. We need to know the Lord in the midst of his people. And then the heavens will shake and the earth will shake. And from heaven there will drop down the blessings of God in his presence. We read in verse 9, Thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain, whereby thou didst confirm thine inheritance when it was weary. I believe that's what was rejoicing the hearts of the people of God. They had heard the tramp of the feet of God in their midst. They had felt the movements of the presence of God in their midst. They had felt the stirrings of the power of God in their midst. They had caught the vision of the earth shaking and God leading forth his armies. They had gotten out of the syndrome of defeat and they had seen stretching out before them the mighty blessings of Pentecostal power and fullness. And I tell you, they were praising God. They are back in the upper room, in the place of prayer. Just put yourself in their position. If you were in that crowd in the upper room after the ascension, could you look around you there without envisaging again the scene as the Lord Jesus led the table and invited them to eat and drink in remembrance of him? You see, they couldn't visit that place of prayer without coming face to face with the cross. When they prayed, therefore, they prayed on the ground of the shed blood. And I think what's wrong with so much of our praying nowadays, what's missing in the place of prayer, is that we divorce the place of prayer from the cross. We divorce the praying from the blood shedding. And right throughout Scripture, you'll find that God has joined these two things together. Without praying on the ground of blood, there is no praying. And if when we come to pray, our hearts are not melted at the cross, if when we come to pray, our souls are not drawn out in love after him who loved us and gave himself for us, then there will be no praying worth talking about at all. The place of prayer was the place they were drawn close to the cross, praying on the ground of the blood. And then it was this place of prayer was a place they went to after they had spent those 40 days listening to the word of the Lord. And I want you to get the significance of it. Because they therefore prayed on the ground of the word of God. They took time to listen. I believe, and I have kept emphasizing this, one message after another, Sundays and prayer meeting nights as well. I believe there is one thing, among others, that's vital, and yet it's missing among so many of God's people nowadays. It is taking time to hear what God the Lord would say. What is the usual church prayer meeting? It is a rush into God's presence and a rush out again. What's the usual time of prayer for the individual believer? It's a quick moment in God's presence and a rush out again. The hours are spent on the things which we say with our lips are of lesser importance. The seconds are given over to the things that we say are of major and eternal importance. There's something wrong there. Something wrong indeed. You see, if ever we are going to talk to the Lord aright, we have got to listen to the Lord talk to us. If ever we are going to pray, we will have to learn to pray the Word. How often have I said it? That praying is not the ability to conjure up nice sentences. Praying is not the ability to have the nice turn of phrase, the ornate oratory, the thrilling words. Prayer is not the ability to be able to spin out words for a certain length of time. Prayer is that lifting up of God's promise by the power of God's Spirit from a heart that is touched by the Lord and broken by the sight of the cross and in the knowledge of the cleansing of the blood. That is prayer. And without it, there's no praying. Many years ago, Dr. Paisley's church in the old church in the Ravenhill Road was having a series of late night prayer meetings each Friday night. And in that room, a working class area of Belfast, you'd find a motley crew. Some converted drunkards. Others from other forms of sin. And others who had never been deep down in sin at all, but had needed the saving grace of God, and they had been all saved by the grace of God. Not one of them, I would say, had education to a university level. Most of them couldn't get halfway there. Most of these men, just ordinary working men who had to work with their hands and by the sweat of their brow, earn enough money to keep their body and soul together and keep their families together. They came to pray. And I'll tell you, they could pray. They came Friday night after Friday night, something that wasn't known at the time, a Roman Catholic priest used to stand outside the window of the prayer room, and he listened. And as he listened, his heart was stirred. Then at last, when he made contact, he said, look, he said, I have my education and I have my learning, and I have my prayer books and my liturgy. And I can't pray like these men. Here are men. And they have no learning and they have no prayer books and they have no liturgy. And they can pray so as to move God. What a testimony. Those men had learned to pray on the ground of the blood, the ground of the word. My friend, that's going to be vital. Your prayer life and mine is going to be vital in the prayer effort of this church. Place of prayer. You notice carefully the people who prayed. I haven't time to deal with them in detail. There are so many lessons that need to be drawn from their lives. But I want you to notice that they are named and they are numbered. When you stop and think of that, you'll realize quite simply that the Lord does name and the Lord does number those who pray. And I think if we could look into the records of God's secret counsel, I think, you know, we would get a mighty big shock. Here's the truth that rips aside the facade, the flimsy veil of empty profession. Here's something which pierces all our appearances and gets down to the real heart of our true condition before God. The Lord can name every praying man here. And the Lord has numbered every praying man and every praying woman in this church. And now there are more members and there are more adherents, there are more attenders than there are praying men and women. And sometimes the preacher doesn't know the difference. Sometimes the people can't distinguish. But I tell you, the Lord names those who pray. And the Lord numbers those who pray. He knows them, he names them, he numbers them. I wonder this morning what the record of the counsel of God has to say about it. I wonder what it really has to say about each one of us. I wonder when the Lord makes up the list of praying men and women in Faith Free Presbyterian Church, has he got you there? There's a verse over in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16, which says, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. Listen. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. A book of remembrance was written. I think from Acts 1 that you can certainly see that in that book of remembrance there is the mention not only of those that think upon his name, but those We pray because you'll not think on his name in the sense of Scripture without praying. Meditation leads to prayer, and prayer leads to meditation. I wonder, is your name written there? Let me put it very solemnly. In the final analysis, I believe that the names written in that book are the same as the names in the Lamb's Book of Life. I don't believe there's such a thing as a prayerless Christian. I believe there's such a thing as a prayerless hypocrite. I believe there's such a thing as a prayerless professor. I believe there's such a thing as a prayerless church member. But there's no such thing as a prayerless Christian. I think you'll find God cannot say of you, "Behold, he prayeth." He cannot number you among his people at all. The Lord names him.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.